Best show? Is this what's going on, everybody? Are we live?
We are live.
Oh, hi, everybody. Welcome to the Best Show. My name's Tom. I'm the host of the show. I'm here. I apologize for being a few minutes late. I'm in Los Angeles, and I was stuck in the traffic.
Oh, boy. Talk about the traffic out here. Oh, my goodness. The traffic. You got to see this traffic, everybody. The smog and the traffic. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, people think, is the traffic bad out here? Yeah, it's horrifying. Horrifyingly bad. It's not the worst. I'm going to say this. People of America and beyond, if you choose to identify countries other than America as existing, which I know is an option for a lot of people. It's not a default setting. Traffic in Los Angeles, not so hot. But I'm going to say this. There is nothing, to me, nothing worse than the traffic when you are on, say, Hudson. When you're coming out of the Holland Tunnel in New York City and you sit for an hour and you have yet to move a block. That, to me, is the worst traffic in America. Jason, Dudio, Gore, how do you feel about that?
I'm right there with you. I was talking to Brett before we started the show, and when I was in L.A., I thought the traffic...
Brett?
On your side, the engineer on your side, Brett. He's probably in the room with you right now.
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
That's Brett?
Yeah.
That's so weird. For some reason, I thought his name was Ernie.
Mm-hmm. No, it's...
And I was just... I always did, you know what I would say to him? Hey, man. What's up, man? I just called him man. Just the...
Did you ever slip an Ernie in?
No.
It was just man.
I was close. I was getting close to saying, what's up, Ernie? And then I just stuck with man for the longest time. I was just like, what's up, man? How's it going, man?
It's good to see you, man.
That's always the... I'll say this also before I go on this TED talk about New York City traffic versus Los Angeles traffic. If somebody calls you man 5 times and does not say your name, they don't know your name. I'm going to say that is a stone cold truth you can take to the bank on that one. If they call you man over and over, and never once say your name. If you hear a man 5 times in a row, or whatever the non-man equivalent would be, I'm not sure. What would that be? What's up? What's up?
Dude.
Madam?
I don't think anyone... I think you could say man in both.
I think it would be man for all genders or identifiers. I think people use it as a default.
Yeah. I fall into that trap constantly.
Of people calling you man?
Of me doing that, just being like, oh man, well it's, man, I cannot believe we saw each other. It's so good to see you, man. Mm-hmm.
And then at a point you're just like, I don't know. The other safe bet is, I'm gonna say this, just call them Dave. It's a safe bet with dudes. Just go. So your name's Dave, right?
Yeah.
There is probably a 30% chance of being right.
Yeah.
What's up? It's Dave, right?
No.
It's Keith. Oh, I'm sorry, man. And then you go to just back to man because you've already forgotten Keith. Is AP Mike there tonight?
He's right here.
How's it going, Tom?
Thank God. Thank God. How are you, Mike?
Doing all right.
I worry about you.
Yeah?
I worry about you. I saw your... Mike went on a little tirade the other night. Mike went fishing. I love it. Mike gets out his old fishing pole.
The old playbook.
He gets in his little rowboat, rows out until he gets out his fishing pole, and what's he put on it? On the hook? Midsummer.
Yeah. That was just for you, Tom.
Oh, I see that one, and I'm just going, Mike's going fishing. Yeah. So, Mike, how are you? You're doing good?
I'm doing all right.
How'd you like those Oscars, Mike?
Yeah, they were fun.
Yeah, I didn't like Parasite.
No, it was all right.
I like Parasite. Parasite's a good movie.
I wasn't expecting a horror movie at the end, but hey, it was surprising.
Isn't every movie a horror movie when you get down to it?
I guess so.
Right?
Yeah.
Isn't life a horror movie?
Yeah, well,
when you get down to it?
You're not going to get an argument from me on that one.
No. But the whole thing is, if life is a horror movie, who are we in the horror movie?
Yeah.
Are we the one that blabbing too much and then gets their heads lopped off first?
Yeah, that's me. I cash out early. I'm the first
You're
to
the
go.
One.
I'm the first to go.
No, you know you are in a horror movie, Mike, and don't take this the wrong way.
Yeah, I will.
Hey, you can't go in there. Can I help you with something?
Yeah. You can't go
I
in
can
there.
See that.
Yeah.
Hey, can I help you with something?
Uh-huh. And I barge right in.
And then out comes the machete.
Uh-huh.
Off goes your head.
Uh-huh.
You know who I am in the movie, Mike?
No.
I'm the guy who tries to bargain.
Oh, okay, the bargainer.
I try to bargain with the killer.
Yeah.
What do you want? Whatever you want. You tell me what you want.
Uh-huh.
Come on.
Yeah.
No, that's not me.
You're just prolonging the agony.
What's that? You are prolonging the agony. Not me, man. Now, who would I be in a horror movie, Mike? And I can't take any offense to any of this, so you just say it. Am I the killer? Are you saying I'm the killer?
No, I wouldn't go that far.
Who would I be?
Maybe isn't there usually like some sort of expert who's brought in to sort of assess the situation?
Oh, this is, Mike, I felt a chill go up my spine on this one. I think you nailed it correctly. I'm the guy who says there's a problem,
yeah.
No one listens to me,
right. Yeah.
And I get killed.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So,
yeah. You're like
I'm
one
the
of the scientists
goes,
in Day this, of the this, Dead.
Say that again?
You're like one of the scientists in Day of the Dead.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a guy going, this is a prop. This you can't let this maniac out of jail. He is not rehabilitated.
Yeah.
He is not, I'm telling you, he is not better yet. Then it gets me.
Yeah.
I get Michael Myers did.
Yeah.
Yeah, and who do you think Dudio? Do you know who Dudio is? And Dudio, if I'm going to be, if Mike can be the security guard or whoever it is who goes, you can't go in there.
Yeah.
What can I, hey, what are you doing? And if I'm the buffoon, the pawn, the schleb, schlub, who gets, who despite his best intentions still gets his head kicked. You know who Dudio is, Mike? In a horror movie?
I have an idea.
I think he's the good time guy.
Oh, yeah.
The guy who'd be like, hey, man, you want to take a hit of this joint? What do you think of that, Mike?
Yeah, that's good. I was thinking he's the guy when the pack is scrambling.
Uh-huh.
He wants.
I don't know if I like where this is going.
He's the one who wanders off. You know, he knows better than the pack. And, you know, he sort of...
And I just, like, run into him?
He separates himself from the pack, and, yeah, he's the one who's going to get it.
He'd be the one who... So you're saying Dudio would be the one who goes, you all want to go that way, you're all going to die.
Right.
I'm telling you, it's this way.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's a little bit, sort of a know-it-all, but he pays the price for it.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is, Pat is ill tonight. Pat is under the weather and is caring for others under the weather, so we send our regards to Pat. Pat lives.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Pat doesn't die.
No, Pat lives. Pat makes it through.
Pat makes it through three films.
Yeah, he's the nice guy.
Yeah.
And then they shock you by killing him early in the fourth one.
Right.
Can you believe they killed Pat?
And it's because he wanted more money for that movie. You know,
so you think it's just a straight up money thing?
Yeah.
Well, you figure he figures he's a star by that time, and then they like, we got to kill this character off.
Fair enough. Look, That's who we all are in the horror movies.
Yep.
You know what I think the killer is? I think it's this guy Ernie. Went to the classroom. Wait, what was his name again?
Brett.
Brett.
Yeah.
Why do I have such a mental block against Brett? Because, I mean, I met out here the fella who does Laundry Man. His name is Brett also. And I finally met him out here.
For the first
time. Like, I ran into him. And he's a very nice guy. I never met him before. And his name is Brett also. Brett Dinklage. No relation to the actor.
Just weird he has the same last name.
Well, it's not that weird.
Yeah, I mean, have you heard of another Dinklage?
No, I haven't. Maybe you're right. Maybe he is related. Maybe he's, maybe just doesn't want to flaunt his showbiz connect. Right?
Yeah.
Some people have shrimp connect. Some people have showbiz connect. I guess life comes down to what are your connects? Right?
Yeah.
Life is like a box of shrimp. It sits in the sun. You gotta eat it fast. Life is like a box of shrimp. You gotta eat it fast before it goes bad.
That might be the deepest thing I've ever said, actually. Life is like a cooler full of shrimp. You gotta get in that car and drive it to Florida real fast before it turns rotten.
It's like you're writing your own chicken soup for the soul.
Yeah, or my own Ferris Bueller.
Yeah.
Right? Now, Ferris Bueller, you think about that. Well, first of all, let me say, welcome to the best show. I know this does not, you might be shocked that this is a program with any sort of structure based on this kickoff. My name's Tom. I'm the host. I'm here in Los Angeles. I'm usually in New Jersey, but I'm not. I'm here, and I'm doing the show from the Forever Dog Studios. And, you know, Forever Dog is this pretty cool podcast network that has shows like... Are these shows on? I'm looking at this poster. Wait, that's a podcast? I'm kidding. I'm just... No, there's good shows on it. You know who does a show on this network is the Elliott sisters have done a show called Conference Call, right? Yeah. I ran into Bridie Elliott, who I think is one of the funniest people going, and I watched her short film, and she's a very talented person. And they've also got Podcast The Ride with Roller Coaster Man, Scott Geirdner. He loves his roller coasters. And if you want to hear roller coaster talk, that's the podcast to go to. If you want to hear somebody talk about the Back to the Future ride, that's where you go. And it's a pretty interesting thing because they'll talk about roller coasters and amusement parks that went out of business. And my friend Jason Walliner's been on it a bunch of times. He's the best. And then they got Laundry Man with Brent Dinklage, which is the flagship show on the network, from what I hear, from what he told me. I'm here. We're doing a show tonight. We're going to do Best Show Trivia Night, and that means the listeners, you, the Best Show listener, you call up and you give us trivia, and we see who can answer what. Are you up for this, Mike?
Yeah.
Jason Dudio Gore, which is, I'm not saying that's not how he told me to announce, what to call him show now, but I'm not saying it is either.
You did it right. I'm ready.
I think he's a little concerned with, he has some branding issues, which is something that Mike has no problem with.
I don't have a marketing team.
Mike's got no problems with branding issues.
No.
Now, Mike?
Yes.
So, yeah, so you call 201-332- 3484?
Nailed it.
Oh, look at that. Can you believe it? As I live and breathe, I remembered a phone number. This AP Mike. You go to apmike.bandcamp.com. You can't believe what's going on over there. I find it sickening personally. And I discourage anyone from going there. But I know you listeners are going to do what you want. Like, like Aleister Crowley said, you do as thou wilt. Right? Isn't that what he said?
Yeah, maybe.
And maybe it involves a human sacrifice, or maybe it involves something truly horrible, like apmike.bandcamp.com. Like how Mike, the laugh falls from the voice now when the when I start making fun of AP. My mic is like, is there nothing sacred? Like comedy has, there are lines with comedy. And apmike.bandcamp.com is one of those lines you do not cross. You do not make fun of that. But you go over there, Mike sells all different things, and he sells these headshots there. And he's been signing them and selling them, and people have them. Mike, did you see the video that our friend Eric, the picture that our friend Eric sent?
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Yes.
Your headshot at the Golden Globes.
Oh, yeah, the one at the Golden Globes. Yeah, that was great.
He brought your headshot.
Yeah.
And are we allowed to say how he was at the Golden Globes? I don't know if we are. I'm not going to.
I think he wanted to call in and discuss it, but it's been a couple weeks, you know?
Well, we'll leave that up to him. Yeah, as they say, it's been a while, right?
If he's listening, you know, give us a call.
Yeah, if he's listening, he can call. But he was at the Golden Globes, and he brought your headshot there.
Yeah, he smuggled it in.
And, like, took a picture of the headshot with Seth MacFarlane in the background?
Yeah, he's in the background, yeah. Mr. Entertainment.
Mr. Entertainment. Can you imagine? You know what's so funny? If he's Mr. Entertainment, the funny thing is I've missed his entertainment, right?
Yeah.
Like, I miss what's entertaining about him. So if he's Mr. Entertainment, I miss his entertainment. Oh, boy, that was a reach.
Yeah.
Okay. You're not supposed to say yeah.
In mathematical terms, I think you'd say you're outside his subset.
That's right. Maybe the meanest thing anyone's ever said to me.
Remember math? You had to like learn all that stuff.
Math insult.
Yeah, remember the time I had to do math?
Where did it get you? You know, all that geography.
Yeah. All that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing I learned at school that was worth anything? Mm-hmm. How to type.
Yeah, typing. Important, right?
How to run. Okay. These are the things I learned. How to run. Uh-huh. How to type. How to keep my head down.
Yeah.
Not make waves.
Those are good things to learn.
Yeah, but you'd think you could teach somebody those things in like 3 hours.
Oh yeah.
Except the typing part, but the just be cool, keep your head down, or you're going to get punched in the face.
Actually, you learned that on your own. No teacher told you that.
That's right. You're right, Mike. Yeah.
It's on the streets.
Teach me that at school.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
They should have a class like that, though.
Street smart.
How to deal with the idiots you will encounter.
Well, here Mike, we just hit on a billion-dollar idea.
Yeah.
AP Mike's Street School.
Lectures. Yeah, these idiots that lecture, you know.
I mean, well, guess what? You're about to become one of them.
You would be the idiot lecturing.
Who's the guy?
Why don't we do that? What if there was a... Mike, you know I come up with a harebrained scheme sometime.
Yeah, no.
I want you to do cameo-type videos. I think that would have been a cash cow. You've turned that down.
Yeah.
Apparently you're like the Rick Moranis of of podcasting, where you just say no to everything the way he said no to working for 20 years. But I pitched you that. I was going to pitch you another thing tonight, Mike. A new. What if we did? I wanted to pitch you like, because these headshots. Somebody sent me another picture of the headshot.
Oh, yeah.
which is in front of the house from the movie Naked. Did you see that one, Mike?
Yeah, I think I did, yeah.
Yeah, somebody from England took a picture of the house from the Mike Lee movie Naked with that lovable curmudgeon who, in 21st century standards, would be jailed and convicted and jailed of sexual assault.
Yes.
You know, that rascal in that movie Naked who was a full-fledged... self-admitted criminal. They took a picture of the headshot in front of that house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The headshot's getting around. I think there's another, I think this headshot needs to, like Dudio's hero, Guy Fieri would say, to kick it up a notch. Uh-huh. Right?
Yeah.
What about this, Mike? Mm-hmm. We've all seen the black and white headshot. We're sick of it, right?
Yeah.
True.
What about this, Mike? We go Warhol on these these bleeps, right? Uh-huh. On these bleepers. We go Warhol on them. We take the headshots. We just do like a one color. Black and white, but with like an additional like color on them. Hmm. The way Warhol would have done.
Okay.
Sell those things for twice a price. And look, I don't make a nickel on these things. I don't know why I'm pitching this like it's...
So for 20?
20 bucks.
Well, the gold pens were going for 20.
This would have to be more than that.
It's 25.
So 25. Yeah.
Go up to 25 and you number them. There's a limited run.
Yeah.
We do not do... when the run ends, that you don't do them anymore.
Yeah.
1,300.
That's a good idea.
Then you shift to a new color, Mike.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
It's interesting. A friend of mine was proposing a new shot. You know, just a different photo.
Oh, you want to update your headshot.
A new headshot. Yeah.
Or, yeah, I like the idea of that.
Yeah.
I still think we can squeeze a little more dirty water from the rag, though.
Yeah, that's what it
is.
It's
a dirty rag.
It's stalling out, let's put it that way.
No, but it's stalling out because it's the same old, same old.
Yeah, yeah. Although the latest batch has my phone number on it. I'm surprised.
What about a poster, Mike? What about the headshot, a larger? We talked about it, and somebody sent one in. What if they were commercially available?
A poster? No, that's pushing it.
Like one of those big Led Zeppelin poster-sized posters?
No, just like a
regular poster, a movie poster.
Yeah, like a poster, exactly, like movie theater sized poster.
It's funny you mentioned the Warhol because I thought of somebody, you know, one of our friends would sort of take the photo and just sort of do a Warhol version type for a T-shirt.
Yeah, Mike, yeah. I'm all for it. I'm just telling you, I think there's a little more dirty left in this rag. A little more dirty water left in the rag.
I'm literally down to my three last T-shirts.
Okay. Well, the T-shirts might be dead now. T-shirts.
Yeah, no, that's the end of that run. But it lasted.
So what about this then? We think about a new version of the headshots, but here's what I'm telling you, Mike. And I think this is, you sell on Patreon. Not on Patreon. Patreon.com/thebestshow. That's how you support the show, by the way. Original content going up every week now. We have new episodes of Meet My Friends, the Friends, going up every week. They're going to have a Best Show Q&A I'm going to record this week going up. It's going to go up.
And there's a lot of good questions for that, too.
I'm going to answer all of them. Yeah. I'm going to do Q&As regularly now on it. I got the recording equipment now set up. It's a Thomasance. It's the Thomasance. Everybody loved the McConaissance. Now it's time for the Thomasance. What about this, Mike? On apmike.bandcamp.com. Just like you sold your songs, right?
Yeah.
A limited edition series, AP Mike Street School.
Street School. All right.
And it's just you talking about the real world.
Yeah. All
right. Right?
Yeah, that might be. Who's the guy that gets people to walk on coals?
Tony Robbins?
Yeah, that big idiot. Yeah, maybe I could sort of goof on it.
That big idiot.
I could goof on that guy. Yeah, that'd be fun. Maybe I'll have, well, I'm not going to buy a book of his, but I'll sort of peruse one and see what I can do with goofing right. on
you'll
that
be,
stuff.
Go to the Barnes & Nobles in Bayonne, and you'll see AP Mike. He'll be one of those creeps hunched over a book all day.
No, in the chair. The chair
in the chair. If I ran a Barnes and Nobles, I tell you,
no chairs.
I'd be walking through that place. I'd get a shock stick, like I'm herding cattle.
You read enough.
You want to buy it now? You checked it out long enough.
Yeah.
Hey friend, I call everybody friend. Hey friend, you checked it out long enough. You think you're going to buy that book? And they're always reading graphic novels. You ever notice that?
Oh yeah.
They're always sitting there reading some giant 800-page Wolverine thing.
The Absolute Watchmen.
Yeah. Oh, you're reading Watchmen again. Oh, you're not sure how it happens in it? It's only been out 95 years. You're just getting around to reading it? This ain't a library. I'd say, this ain't a library, and I pull my shock stick out. Give me old business. Bzz.
I'll have to put a security.
Or I'd walk them to the counter with the shock stick right behind them. And then I tell them they get a free cookie at the Starbucks cafe. They buy anything with a coffee or a beverage, any beverage. Not going to make it just about coffee. AP Mike Street School.
Street School. I like it.
I'm telling you, Mike. You go to Barnes & Nobles. You read one of these Tony Robbins books. And look, I'm not going to get on Tony Robbins the way you get on him, Mike. I watched this the documentary he did. I didn't mind it. I thought it was...
Okay.
Whatever. This guy perfect, hardly.
Got a little uplift?
Big idiot.
Whatever. Yeah. I don't care. Uh-huh. I truly do not care.
Okay.
Now, I'm hanging out with him a lot out here, Mike. Okay. Forever Dog is actually, it takes place at his, at his ranch. Uh-huh. Any calls coming in?
Yeah, we got a call.
We're not ready for it yet, though.
Okay.
So, AP Mike Street School.
Okay.
I'm telling you, Mike, I'll be the first one to buy an episode of AP Mike Street School. Okay. Thoughts?
Yeah, I'm going to look into it, do some research.
Oh, the stall tactics on this guy.
I can't commit to something that I don't know if it's going to, you know.
Three jokers died in the water.
I mean, not with me or Pat.
Where are you going to get a red suit and a yellow vest? I mean, it's not like the
where on earth could you get that?
I was poo-pooing it from the start.
I'll buy you the bleeping red suit and the yellow shirt. Can you believe that guy won Best Actor for that thing? I could have done that. I swear, I could have done that job.
I was thinking of you saying that the whole time during his speech.
And he knows it, too.
Yeah.
He knows that. He knows any of us could have done that. That movie. That's truly the dumbest movie I've ever seen in my life. It's the dumbest respectable movie I've ever seen in my life.
What's the dumbest movie you've ever seen in your life?
Oh, I have no problem with dumb things.
Right.
I celebrate them. You're talking to somebody who I was watching Click today.
I watched Click a few weeks ago.
I don't even know what that
is. And I watched Spanglish too.
I cried. Yeah. I cried at watching Click.
Yeah.
Click's a Sandler movie, Mike. Did you see Adam Sandler's acceptance speech at the Independent Spirit Awards?
No, I didn't see that.
It's really good.
Okay.
He said on it, he said, first I want to say to the other actors I beat out in this category, you will forever be known as the guy who lost an acting award to Adam Bleeping Sandler.
And it's probably the first time he's ever been to that awards, right?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing he also said was, he said, hey, the host, the thing, Aubrey Plaza is the host. And he said, I was in a movie with her, Funny People. It was 11 years ago, the last time people pretended to like my acting. Like, I'm not going to say, guess who I met at a, I'm not even going to say.
You got good stories going out there.
Let's just say. I'm not going to confirm or deny. I'm not going to say yes or no, but you can ask me questions. I met a director I like.
Oh, okay. Well, number one would be P.T. Anderson.
I'm not going to confirm or deny it, but we can stop the game now. So anyway.
Nice.
Who's the most famous person you've ever seen at Little Dom's?
I don't go to Little Dom's.
You don't go to Little Dom's?
They go there, watch Nick Thorburn eat a calzone.
That place is great.
They sit there, watch Michael Cera eat a panini. So I goes to the movies the other day, right, Mike? And you know, there's this movie theater called Quentin Tarantino. It's not called Quentin. He has a movie theater called the New Beverly, right?
Yeah.
And they put all these old movies on the roster, right? So I go up there, and they showed McCabe and Mrs. Miller last week.
Oh, nice!
Yeah,
I never saw that in a theater.
Well, guess what I did, yeah, and nice. It was great. I wanted to see it very. It was an original print, so it was a little scratchy in spots, but it was really beautiful. So I get there, I say one for McCabe and Mrs. Miller, please, and. I tell you, this is the only place. This theater is this place and a Rush concert are the only place that King Crimson show. I guess Rush don't play any. King Crimson concert and New Beverly. The only places that the line for the men's room is 80 times as long as the line for the ladies' room. Line out the door.
A lot of pre-gaming going on.
Yeah, you think there was a hockey game going on in there, the amount of guys at this thing.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. So I go in. I'm looking for a seat. And this is truly beautiful theater. Like, truly beautiful. I saw the Safdie brothers do a Q&A there a couple weeks ago. It was very nice. So then I go in. I see a seat. And I'm like, is somebody sitting there? And this guy who looks like, kind of looks like a younger Ernest Borgnine, I guess is the best way to describe him. Uh-huh. Right? He goes, yeah, this seat's taken, but the one next to it isn't. So it's the one against the wall. I'm fine because it's not like some wide theater where the sight lines are compromised. Everything's good. No, not a bad seat in place. So I'm like, okay. So I throw my jacket on it, and I go up to get a candy bar and a soda pop, get online, and I come back, and this guy goes, he's like, hey, I went through your jacket. I couldn't find your wallet in there, though.
Funny guy.
And I'm just like, I was like, yeah. Oh, great.
Yeah.
A comedian
yeah,
here.
Yeah, you got a funny guy.
Yeah, funny guy. And I also start to realize the seat next to him was not taken. He just didn't want me sitting next to him. Mm-hmm. He had thrown his jacket over the seat.
Yeah.
So he says that, and I go, yeah, I saw the look. I saw you. I saw you from a mile away. I knew not to leave my wallet. And I'm like, why am I playing this?
Yeah.
Why am I playing games with this guy? Yeah. Can I go, please? So I sit down. And now this theater has a thing where someone will come down and they'll go to the front of the theater. They'll go, hey, thanks for coming to New Beverly. It's great everybody's here. Tonight the movie is – and it was a double feature, Mike.
Uh-huh.
Double feature. What do you think would be paired with McCabe and Mrs. Miller? Not by the same director.
Right, okay.
But same kind of temperature. That's your clue. Right. Same era and temperature, Mike.
Genre?
Oh, Mike's gonna
genre? Same genre?
Similar enough genre, sure.
If I had my dream of a double feature with McCabe and Mrs. Miller, I would put Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid.
No. Close.
Close.
You're close. You're in this. You got the spirit of
uh-huh.
it. Gentler than a Peckinpah
Gentler,
movie.
Okay.
A movie that people are like, yikes, that's a slow one.
But like a weird Western, Missouri Breaks, maybe.
You're so close, but that's not Missouri Breaks.
Is Jack Nicholson in it? I always
No. Big movie star is the lead of it, though.
Oh, big one.
Big director, but not known for Westerns. Mm-hmm. And written by a big, big, big writer.
Yeah. I'm fizzling. Yeah, I don't have an idea.
Jeremiah Johnson.
Oh. Well, that's a weird one. I mean, that's kind of, I don't know.
That was one of my dad's favorite movies.
I mean, I haven't seen it in so long. All right. That's an interesting choice. I mean, it's not out there a lot, you know?
No, but it's they got original prints of them, and they run them.
Okay. That's cool.
And it's a double feature. It's like 12 bucks you get to see two of these movies.
Yeah.
Good deal, right?
Yeah, it is.
So then, so that's the double feature. So I sit down, and this guy comes down in front of the theater. Very nice guy. He's talking. He's very super passionate about the movies. He's like, everyone, please, if when the lights go down, the phones go away. You got to put your phones away. It's disrespectful to the movies and your other theater goers to be looking at your phone. Just watch the movie. If you need to use your phone, go to the lobby. Now, it's great. Right, Mike?
Yeah.
So then this guy, and look, this guy's talking to the front. I'm saying, like, man, I wish this guy would be friends with me. Get talking to the front. I could be friends with this guy. He could get me into things that are sold out. I'd be pals with him. That's my own mind racing.
Yeah.
Right?
Movie Connect.
Movie Connect.
Yeah.
Like I said, Mike, we all need our Connect.
Yeah.
So then, this guy next to me, this younger Ernest Borgnine looking guy, goes, back when I was a kid, if a guy like that was at the front of the theater talking, we'd be whipping candy at him.
Yeah.
And he's laughing.
Uh-huh.
And then he goes, and then if he tried to put his arms up and tried to avoid it, we'd throw it harder.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what is this problem with this monster? This is a truly nice guy talking about how excited he is that we all get to see this movie.
Yeah.
So then they start running the movie. And this dunce falls asleep. I turn over 15 minutes in. He's snoring so loudly. And I'm just like, of course I end up next to this guy.
Yeah.
Of course. I'm planted next to the blabbermouth who the second the movie starts falls asleep and snores. So I punch a side of his seat. I punch it from an angle that, admittedly, he wasn't sure who hit his seat.
Yeah.
I hit it kind of from the side, kind of from the back. So that when he looked around, he probably thought the guy behind him did it. Maybe not my proudest moment. I'll admit, I could have taken ownership over that and just gone like, hey man, you're snoring.
Yeah.
But not unlike McCabe himself, I got a bit of a yellow streak in me. So tied into the movie, I punch the back of his seat, the side/slash back of his seat. Then he gets up. He goes, excuse me. And I was like, he's gone. And he came back like 15 minutes. I was like, where'd this guy go? He came back, fell asleep again. I did it again.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow.
Now, I have no idea why this guy watching a scratchy old movie in a comfortable movie theater would fall asleep watching a meditative movie that takes place in the winter that has a soundtrack made up of Leonard Cohen songs. How on earth he could have fallen asleep, I have no idea.
Uh-huh. You forgot that's the a lot of that's actors joke. Mumbling to themselves.
Yeah, a lot of actors mumbling. But boy, oh boy, that was such a great movie. And then Jeremiah Johnson came and I split.
Oh, you didn't stick around?
I wasn't going to be the one to fall asleep.
Yeah.
I would have fallen asleep during that.
Yeah.
I was there in the avalanche. I start doing my Leonard Cohen, right? I could do that. Sounds like him, right, Mike?
Yeah, just like him. Right.
Thank you, Mike. Like a bird on a wire. That's the Leonard Cohen I like, not the one who's like, I like when he had that
you don't like
the nasal voice. I don't like Leonard Cohen with hats.
Yeah. Okay.
When he got hats, I got out.
But
when he put on a hat,
yeah,
I put on my coat and left.
But those last live shows were so uplifting. I mean, they're
It's great. Yeah, Mike. Yeah, I'm not putting it down. I'm just saying that's my favorite era.
Uh-huh.
Is young Leonard Cohen, where he wasn't that young actually.
I think he was too serious back then. I like when he got.
He's fine. He was funny back then.
Let the sense of humor come out.
Look, it's all look. I don't know why we're playing this game. I like all of them.
Okay.
And I don't know why I'm making some declaration that I wasn't interested in it. I'm just saying I prefer.
Uh-huh.
I prefer that first bunch of albums. Right, Mike?
Yeah.
Right. What's another one of his songs you like?
I think it was a good movie and a bad movie, a good song and a bad movie. Didn't Natural Born Killers have a couple or one?
Oh, you could pay me to watch that thing again. I have no idea. Can you imagine watching that thing in 2020?
No.
He also did the the soundtrack to McCabe and Mrs. Miller, and then he really didn't do any other movie stuff till that second Porky's movie.
I missed that one.
He had like 9 songs on Porky's to the Next Day soundtrack. this is an ode to Porky. I was hanging out at Porky's.
Ode to Peepaws.
That great franchise. Porky's. Yeah. That's like when Reagan was elected, then they made Porky's, right? You know, they're always just like, they say that it's really good horror movies when it's like right-wing Republicans are in the office. But maybe it's also like dumb. Like Porky's is a very, very, like, where's the current Porky's? What is that now? Where is our Porky's?
Yeah, for the next generation, right?
Yeah.
Every where's generation has to have those coming of age movies, you know, in which you can call them coming of age, but they're really about titillation.
Yeah, Pen 15 is a good coming of age story.
Uh-huh.
But where's the Porky's of this generation?
Yeah, you're right.
If somebody gave you the opportunity to reboot Porky's in 2020, would you take it, and what would you do?
Well, American Pie was a reboot, right?
Yeah,
but you got to make it a
Porky's.
Where's
the next American Pie for the next after American Pie?
It's the Porky's reboot.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say this. If I get a chance to, if God ever shines his providence upon me, and I am ever granted the chance, if I am ever touched from above to reboot Porky's, Mike.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm telling you one thing. Uh-huh. You better go cowboy hat shopping. Because, look, I can't say you got the job automatically, but let's just say the director has his selects. And let's just say Porky's ain't going to take place in Florida in my reboot. Bayonne. Porky's going to be in Bayonne.
Okay.
Yeah, Porky's. Porky's, Port of Call, Bayonne. So this guy at the New Beverly, it's like, come on, wake up. If you're at the movies and you're tired, just leave. There's nothing better than a nap in your car.
Yeah.
Go take that nap in your car. Mm-hmm. It's fine. Look, sleeping in a movie theater is great. Though I remember when I fell asleep watching Cop Out, that was some sweet sleep. I don't think I ever slept as peacefully as watching Cop Out in an empty theater. Mm-hmm. I watched the new one, by the way, Jay and Silent Bob reboot.
Oh God, good for
you. Yeah, I saw that at one of those road shows where they were there.
You went to one of those?
Yeah, I went to one of those.
God.
How are we just getting to this now?
Yeah.
How is this not? how is this not the lead off for a special multi-episode series that you went to the Jay and Silent Bob Road Show?
Yeah.
What was that like?
It was fun. They showed the movie. It was just in like a college auditorium, Borough of Manhattan College down in Lower Manhattan. And why
did you go? I'm not asking in any sort of, I'm completely judging you.
Yeah, no, I get it.
I'm not judging you. No, I'm totally judging you.
Yeah, completely. Kristen's, coworker at Full Frontal, Pat Castles, is a big, Kevin Smith fan. We were all on the View Askew boards back in the day.
And I will also say this. I can say congratulations to, Kristen,
thank you.
Kristen Bartlett.
Yeah. Yeah.
She is now the co-head writer of Full Frontal with Samantha Bee.
She is.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. She's doing an awesome job.
I'm not congratulating you.
Well, I know. I will pass along the congratulations. This is like me accepting an award on someone's behalf.
Sure. Yes, exactly.
Pat Castles bought the tickets and, you know, we were just like, okay, we'll go. Pat Castles has a very funny story that during 9/11, he got let out of college.
Sounds like a great story already.
I know. Every good story starts
very funny
with
one.
So on 9/11, but he spent his 9/11 while everyone was freaking out watching the news, watching Jay and Silent Bob strike back a few times in the theater in Lower Manhattan.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So
he stayed hidden. Theater,
yeah, and the theater just kept playing the movie.
He wanted
just felt like the
it's the safest place, really.
Yeah, because even terrorists have their limits.
Yeah, they're not going to attack the recently
released.
Well,
no, they just can't. They're not that brave.
Yeah,
to go into the theater and didn't see Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
More than one.
Hey, you know what's going on? His voice is like, I can't even do an impression of it.
But reboot is if you hated Strike Back. You're really going to hate Reboot.
I'll say this. Is it bad? Oh, yeah, it's really bad.
Yeah.
But I will also say there's something oddly endearing about it.
I'll agree with that. Yeah.
That it's just like they're making a thing and enjoying themselves.
Yeah.
And I can't put it down.
It's total fan service.
Exactly. It's like... I wish people that I was a fan of would make things that directed at me, but they ain't.
Who would you want to make something that directed at you?
I wouldn't. I would feel slightly condescended to if somebody made something that on the nose for me. Jackass 4 would probably be the closest to any kind of thing I'd want to see like that. Yeah, that Jay and Silent Bob movie. Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah.
It's actually, you watch the movie, and it's a contest to see if any name person in it filmed two scenes in it. Everybody shot their thing.
For one day, yeah.
Oh, it's me, Chris Hemsworth, and I'm here. I'm telling you all about Thor, and I'm telling you all about Chronicon, and we want to go and everybody go to like.
Yeah, so all I can just picture is like they like he's a hologram in it. Thor is a hologram in it. Matt Damon is like in a church. I guess he's still doing his character from Dogma.
Yeah.
And he's there. He just turns around. He didn't have to wear pants, as far as I could tell. He might have been wearing gym shorts.
Jorts. Yeah.
Which would have been in the spirit of. They actually made a jorts joke in the movie, Mike.
Yeah, okay.
Kevin was wearing jorts when we did at the road show.
Yeah, I know.
Kevin Smith should actually change his name to Michael Jortston. when it comes to like movies with cheap, dirty jokes, he is the Michael Jortston of that.
How come he doesn't have his own Jorts line? I mean, you think he would have gotten
that's
to that.
Him his stuff.
All his stuff. All his stuff. He peddles. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, how is Target not made?
No, Walmart. He's the Walmart.
George by Smith. Right.
He's not Tar-Jay. He's a Walmart material all the way.
You think he's Walmart?
Yeah, his crowd's in Walmart. Come on, let's be serious for once.
Kevin Smith presents Jorts by Smith. $12.99. Picture those jorts, right?
Yeah.
I wonder, does he sell game worn jorts? Like, can I buy jorts that he's worn?
Yeah.
Does Kevin Smith sell? Can somebody look online, please, see if Kevin Smith makes, if he sells, like, because, you know, like, he wears all these hockey jerseys.
Yeah.
He's got to sell ones he's made, that he's worn, right?
You have to pay more for, like, con-worn jorts.
Yeah, like, exactly.
I wore these effing jorts at the 2009 Comic-Con in this, and I wore these effing, this effing hockey jersey when I was at the effing,
Man, I never met a curse he didn't like.
Every sentence. And
I wore these jorts and S at the bleeping Comic-Con in S, and I.
I think he has auctioned some jorts in the past, but I don't think he's actually sold any jorts or, like, you know, tried to.
What about, okay, well, here's it. I'm full of ideas now. I'm full of ideas. I got AP Mike Street School. I got the AP Mike headshot posters. Uh-huh. The three Jokers. Here is the, maybe, if not definitely, the best idea I've ever had. A movie called Get Ready. It's not called Get Ready. It's a movie called The Smithers of the Traveling Jorts. Right?
Yeah.
Like that movie Sisters of the Traveling Pants, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sisterhood of the... Is it Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants?
Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. Yes. They all take turns wearing the pants.
The Smitherhood of the Traveling Jorts.
Yes.
And S. And it has to be at the end of the thing. And it's just about this pair of jorts. Or a movie called Like Kevin, and instead of, like, Michael Jordan sneakers being magical, it's a pair of magical jorts the kid puts on. And then he directs just dirty movies.
How many pot references were in the real
movie? None. There were none.
Oh,
there was
really?
Actually,
oh, I thought...
strangely enough. No, the whole movie was a pot reference. Mike.
Yeah.
No, I mean, 74 minutes of it.
He's catering to the old... Cheech and Chong crowd with that stuff, right? I mean, that's his new passion.
Somebody just put a quote I'm looking at on Twitter. Bill Simmons said about Robert Forster. He said, "I really did like him in Jackie Brown." You're like, what do you like him in Black Hole?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a Bill Simmons' big medium cool fan, right?
Really? That's his big...
No, he's not.
Oh,
no, he's not,
okay,
Mike.
Okay. I can't tell, Tom.
I'm sorry, Mike.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to yell at you.
That's all right.
I'm sorry, Mike. You know I ain't yelling at you.
I know.
Let's do some trivia. How about that?
Yeah, let's do it.
And you who liked Porky and told him that he...
Are you ready for line two?
Let's do it. And how are we going to do this? Are we each going to see who can guess the things?
Yeah, and how are we going to take score? What's our punishment if we're wrong? I mean,
no, there's no punishment.
No punishment.
If we're wrong.
Okay.
What is this? What is this? Impractical Jokers?
Hey, their movie's out next Friday.
I know.
I'm excited.
I'm excited too. Can't wait to see our guy Sal Vulcano light up the big screen. I'm serious.
Will that be at the Beverly?
Proud. Will that be what?
Will that be at the Beverly?
Will that be at the New Beverly? Yeah, they're gonna do. It's gonna be. They're showing the Impractical Jokers movie. It's paired with Freebie and the Bean.
Here we go. Line two, you're on.
Welcome.
Line two, you're on.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, welcome to the best show. To whom am I speaking?
Tom, Adrian calling from Toronto.
From Toronto, the city of what now?
The NBA champions.
That's right, and they're going to repeat this year from what I hear, right?
Probably not. I don't know.
Well, look, you got one ring. You got it. Well, you don't have it. You don't have a ring, but the city won. The city won. It was a glorious moment.
Absolutely. I was on a flight, actually, when it happened. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
That's exciting. Yeah. And then the rest of your city was on a flight of victory.
Yeah.
You know who's the great? Yeah. Who's the greatest musical artist from Toronto?
Well, it depends who you really include in that. I don't know. I'm not from Toronto myself originally. I'm here 10 years. I'm Irish. But I could go best Canadian, but Toronto, I don't know.
Well, let's just say best Canadian musician of all time. Who do you think it is?
Joni Mitchell.
Not Neil Young?
No, Joni.
Okay, and that's fair.
And
look, that's I would go with Neil Young personally, but I get it completely.
I'm big into Joni, but yeah, I love Neil Young as well.
I just watched Russ Never Sleeps Again. That's such a good movie.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what's the greatest thing about him is he gets weirder. Neil Young gets weirder with time going by. He's weird now. He's weird and getting weirder. And this is a guy who made some pretty weird choices. He's actually getting weirder somehow.
Yeah, he was always kind of weird. I don't know.
But he's getting weird. Yeah. I said he was. I agree, Adrian. He's getting weirder, though.
Yes, no, I can't disagree. Yeah, I mean, he has his moments, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Oh, fine. Okay, he has his moments. So, what, do you have some trivia for us? Do you want to see who can answer what?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty basic, and you're probably going to get it. Music.
Hey, do we have ding-ding or something to get in?
So say your name.
Just say my name. Okay.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Yeah, anyway. So, it's a three-part. Anyway.
Unless
so,
you want to aim the question at a specific person. Or you want it to go to the group?
I feel like it's going to be either you or Mike is going to.
Oh, thanks. You know, get this. Thank you. I appreciate that. Turn my mic off.
I love it. I love it.
All right. So.
Everybody loves. Go ahead. Avalanche Bob didn't respect Dudio.
Nobody.
Adrian doesn't respect Dudio.
I respect Dudio. That's totally.
Thank you,
that's
Adrian.
Another thing, but anyway.
Thank you.
I'm joking.
Great.
All right, okay.
I'm joking.
I love you. I love you. I'm joking.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Adrian.
All right, so what do the following three songs have in common? You got Sir Duke by Stevie Wonder, Hey 19 by Steely Dan, and All the Young Dudes by Mötley Crüe.
Let's see. I'm going to say, well, they all mention other musicians.
There you go. That's as simple as that.
Really? There you go. Okay. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
How many points do I get? The listeners get to award how many points we get also.
That was pretty basic, so I'm going to say four.
Four.
All right.
Four. That's maybe the strangest number you could pick. Four.
All right.
Yeah, okay, I have 4 points now.
I wrote it down.
I'm blanking out. What musicians are mentioned in Hey 19 and
Aretha Franklin?
Aretha Franklin.
Oh, okay. Oh,
Duke Ellington.
I know Sir Duke, yeah. But what about Mötley Crüe?
The Beatles and the Stones and T-Rex.
Oh, okay. All right. I just blanked out on it, yeah.
Very disappointed in you, Mike.
Okay. Yeah, no, I should have got that.
I knew. So thanks a lot, Adrian, for having your faith in me.
Sorry, Dudio. Sorry.
Let's hear it. So what do you got? Another one for us, Adrian?
Let's hear it. Who originally portrayed Bond in the movies?
Who originally portrayed him in the movie?
Yeah.
Sean Connery.
No.
No. Right?
Oh, no, I know. It was that one, they did that one movie in 1958. Right?
It might have been. Who was it? The original Casino Royale. It was David Niven.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right. I was thinking Niven. Yeah. All right.
Huh. And that was before the first James Bond movie?
That was before Dr. No, yeah.
All right.
Great.
Okay. All right. Hang up on this guy. Now I'm mad.
He's gone. We got another one. I do want to say I'm going to take this call, Tom, but we have a guest coming on at 10:15 who can only talk for 5 minutes. So we may have to dump out of this.
All right.
Line one, you're on.
Okay, go ahead. Go real quick.
Line one, you're on.
Show, hi.
Hi, I have a trivia question for you.
What do you got? Who's this?
My name's Daniel. I'm calling from Portland.
Daniel, what's the question? We got to move fast because we got a guest calling in, apparently.
Got it. I can roll fast. So I was thinking I'm going to name some supporting cast members of a film, and you can try to jump in and guess the film.
Okay. That's like a Doug Benson type game. He's not on Forever Dog, is he? No. Okay, got it.
All right, Bruce Dern, William H. Macy, Rip Torn, Rob Schneider, Harlan Williams.
Well, this sounds like the greatest movie ever made.
Toby Huss.
Toby Huss and Rob Schneider and Bruce Dern in the same movie?
Did I say William H. Macy?
Yeah, you did.
You said William H. Macy. What is it?
Harry Dean Stanton?
Harry Dean Stanton's in it, too.
This movie doesn't exist.
Yeah, he's making it up.
Yeah, this is being...
No, it's real, and the lead is Kelsey Grammer. It's called Down Periscope.
This guy's right.
What's it called?
Tip my hat.
Down Periscope.
Down Periscope.
How many points do you award yourself for stumping us?
He said he's out, so he doesn't get any of those points.
No,
unfortunately, that's how the game's played.
Let's
do it. So what do we got? Somebody calling in?
They're calling in at 10:15, and I'll run and grab it as soon as it lights up.
Okay. There is a town in Northern Ontario. Still the greatest Canadian. Ever.
I got a trivia question while we're waiting.
Okay. Well, give it to me.
Since you're doing Neil Young there. Where were Crosby, Stills, and Nash and Young playing when they found out Nixon resigned?
Where were they playing?
Yep. What city?
Jersey City.
I got it.
It was in Jersey City?
Jersey City. Roosevelt Stadium.
Given Mike
Roosevelt Stadium. Yeah.
I'm going to give him 10.
Thank you.
10. Okay, that's fine. That's fair. Where did Crosby, Stills, and Nash first meet and sing for the first time? At whose house?
Mama Cass.
Or was it Joni Mitchell? No,
I think it was Joni Mitchell's house.
Was it Joni? I thought it was Mama Cass's.
No, I think
I'm giving Mike 30 points for that.
Actually, I think Jason. Well, maybe.
And none of you get points.
It was in that Laurel Canyon movie, right?
I didn't see it.
You didn't see that?
No, I didn't. I couldn't get in.
That was great. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Is that the one with Bob Dylan's son?
Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't really light up the screen.
What?
Yeah. Not a lot of energy coming out of him.
No.
Low energy, as the president says.
Wait, you're going to say he's trying, but there's no way on earth he's just trying to be cool.
I don't know if it's cool or just. I don't know. Low energy. It's something's going on there. Somebody should poke him with a stick, you know?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Poke him with a stick. That's right.
Throw some water in your face, right?
Exactly. Splash some water in your face. That's like we used to say, Mike. Remember?
Oh, you said it.
Here we go.
Yeah. All right.
Line five, you're on.
Line five, welcome to the best show.
Tom Sharpling.
Now, who's this?
This is Scott Rogowski.
Scott Rogowski. Oh my goodness! This is the former yeah. host of HQ, which is a game I love to play each and every night. I love it. It's so much fun. No, yeah, it's gone.
You're still playing it up until tonight, right? I mean, you played.
No,
it at 9
it's
o'clock.
Gone. I got out when you got out.
Wait, what happened? It's gone.
This is the app. This Scott was the quiz host master of that, and then they then whatever happened. What happened? In a nutshell, I know you got to move.
What happened? You want the scoop? You know, Tom, I got to say, I got an email from Vulture. I got a text from Bloomberg News, Fox News. Everyone wants the scoop. They all want me to talk. They want me to share the tea. Yeah. Spill the tea, as the kids say these days. Spilling tea. Spilling tea. They want me to spill tea, but I haven't done it. But for you, Tom, my champion, stick it up for me on Twitter there.
I love
throwing
it.
Me a bone. Always been loyal by my
just
side.
Give us I know you got a boogie, so.
Okay. I don't need to set it up anymore. But no, the point is, me personally, my story is that I was working there. Uh-oh. I guess we don't really need to hear the story then, do we?
No, you'll be quiet.
Gary. See, this is my... Oh, boy. Gary. This is my biggest regret, that Gary did not get a chance to co-host with me on
HQ. Get me on the show, you bum!
I know. Do you want to buy it? Do you want to buy HQ? They're desperate to sell it. I think there could be accepting offers. Do you have, I don't know, maybe a couple grand is all it might take these days. Who knows?
Only
if
they promise.
It was $100 million company there, Gary, and now it's worth nothing. In less than 2 years, it's
$100 million
to nothing.
You know the problem? Joost!
What's that?
Joost!
Casey Joost? One of the early hosts?
He was the problem!
Am I hearing this correctly?
Joost was the host of HQ that I hated the most!
That's very kind.
Gary, just, I'm telling him to step aside. Let Scott tell the story, please.
Yeah, that's not very kind. No, Casey was great.
I love Casey Jost. I think he's very talented and very funny. I love his work on Impractical Jokers.
Yes, and he truly had nothing to do with the demise of HQ. I mean, that was well. It's really, you know, here, honestly, and I'll be sincere. It's truly a shame. You know, I'm not happy about this. I was very personally invested, obviously, in HQ when it started. It was such a thrill to do, and I love dropping best show references Tuesday nights, especially. You know, when you were going live at 9, we were live at 9. And
yeah,
I'd be,
it was so much fun, and you would slip things in, and people would pull the clips, and we'd play them. It was a blast,
yeah,
and you were great at it. That was a job meant for you, Scott. But you did it for like a year and almost 2 years.
Year and a half, yeah, almost 2 years, and you know, it's, I really hate to see it end this way. And unfortunately, there's just one guy at the top who ruined it all for everybody. I mean, you know, there's this tech world, Tom. This tech world seems to exist where people with a lot of money give these founders their money to create these companies, but these people don't have any business running companies. I mean, this guy shouldn't be running a lemonade stand, let alone a $100 million company. He's a designer. He designed the logo. That's all he did.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to work with talent.
How can he work with talent? How can he manage employees? I mean, there were like 50 employees at one point. You know,
yeah.
So you can't expect these people to know what they're doing. You can't expect them to run companies. But this is what happens. These VC guys, these venture capitalists, just give their money to these, you know, designers and coders, engineers who have no people skills, no management skills, and they expect them to run a company? It makes no sense. The whole paradigm is just bonkers to me. It makes no sense. But yet, that's the world. And
so it was just
built.
It was built. It was built wrong from the get go.
Right. Exactly. It was built to fail. They caught lightning in a bottle. I like to think I was a big part of that. Frankly,
you were a big part of it. I'm going to say this as somebody who's hosted a show for 67 years now. it is not easy
to hit the sweet spot. And you, Scott, hit the sweet spot on that thing where you were fun and you were in on the spirit of the thing, but you ran the thing legit and you had fun with the audience and you engaged with the fans, but you also ran it. You were a pro at it too, and you hit all the spots. You ticked all the boxes. You were made for that job. And I told you that yeah. was the job you were made for. And I was so excited to see you do it. And when you got it, you killed it. And then the dream died. Not because of you. You did what you were supposed to do. Made people feel welcome to that, to be there with HQ. And then, but then suddenly the wheels fell off the thing, and in success, so many businesses don't fail in failure. They fail in success.
Mm-hmm.
And you, Scott, you did what you could, and you entertained us all for almost 2 years doing HQ. And I had such a good time, but then they just couldn't do it the way, what did they? They probably didn't know how to even to treat people like humans.
And that's what I'm saying. This guy just does not know how to treat people. And it came down to, you know, the very fact is I was willing to stay on with HQ. What happened was I got this job offer. I'm hosting the show called Change Up on the Zone. Plug. It's starting March 26th with opening day, Major League Baseball. So I'm doing a baseball show. This other job came along. It's a dream job for me as a huge baseball fan. And you know, I had to take it. And they wanted me Monday through Friday. But I said, look, I can stay on an HQ for Sunday nights. I'm willing to do Sunday nights. It was the biggest show at the time. So you can save all the bad press. There won't be any press. It won't say Scott Rogowski leaving HQ. You'll be actually saving money because I'll be being paid less because I'm only doing one show a week. You know, it's a win-win-win.
And then you make that Sunday night the big show.
Exactly. You make the Sunday night the big show and you blow it up. But that's not how they think. That's not how this guy thinks. And he just doesn't care about his
employees. Just name the guy.
Forget it. Name the guy. I don't even. It's like Voldemort. I don't want to say this guy's name. I mean,
shall not be named. Then we'll say that.
But sociopath. You can go on my Twitter if you want to
it's
see more.
Jones!
But
it was Jones.
it was definitely not Jones. Casey, I love you. It was you had nothing to do with it. No, but it was it's just a bad apple, just a rotten egg at the top, and it ruined the whole thing. But that's, you know, malignant narcissist sociopaths, which is what he is. That's what they do. And it's a damn shame. What can I say?
Yeah. Well,
I'm good. I'm moved on. You know,
and a great run.
We had a great run. I just saw all the, we had a nice little get together, all the employees who got laid off on Friday. That's the worst part. 25 people, lives, you know, upended out of nowhere, get told on a Friday night, Valentine's Day, holiday weekend, guess what? We ran out of money and you're immediately terminated and no severance. We can't pay you seven, you know, that's it. Like, what? So that I feel terrible for those people who are working there so long and so hard. But we had a nice get together tonight, and I think everyone's in pretty good spirits. And you know, everyone's being so supportive, helping them get other jobs. So that's what I'm concerned about right now, helping these people who, you know, really got screwed. And
I'm going to say this, Scott. I've known you for a long time, Scott, and you are, all kidding aside, you're a quality guy, and you're a talented guy. And again, it's not easy being the host of a thing where you got to play it straight, but also have a sense of humor about the same thing. That's a tricky spot to be in, man. And you can live there. There ain't no way Scott Rogowski don't go onward and upward. No way.
Yeah,
and I can't wait to see where you go.
Yeah. Well, big things are ahead. Let's just put it that way, Tom. I'm excited to be working on them, and I will share.
I know
with
where
you
it's going.
First to know. And Gary, I'm not telling you anything. You are going to be the last to know.
Hey, Gary. My name's Gary.
Yeah, I know,
Take my name out of your mouth.
Gary,
Scott,
I'm not telling you nothing.
Hey, Scott, let me tell you something. Yeah. I love you, buddy.
I love you, too.
It's going to work out.
Oh, look at that. Showing
it's
going to
work out.
Some squirrel manity over there.
You're not going to be stuck working at the baseball games anymore.
I like the baseball. I like the baseball. Change up the zone.
Me up to the ball game.
That's right. All right, I got to take me off. I got to take me off the phone right now. That's where I got to go.
What do you do at the game?
Well, I watch the games. I don't even go. I don't get to go to the games. I have to sit there in the studio and watch them and show other people the games. So I'm not even at the ballpark.
You clean the urinals?
And I'm not cleaning the urinals.
Not at Shea Stadium.
No, that's, but you know what? I don't look down upon that either. That's a decent
what
gig.
What about Shea Stadium? Me neither.
Yeah, my,
Mike worked at Shea Stadium. Nobody called me and moved to a different building.
Mike's still at Shea Stadium.
Yeah. He's there every week. Let's go, Mets. Let's go, Mets.
And then everybody said,
yeah, they did go to the stadium across the street. God, I love you. You got to get
you,
me some work.
I love
get
you.
Me some
you.
Work.
I'll keep you in mind.
I got one final question for you, Scott.
Oh, yeah, we're doing Best Show Trivia. That's why I'm calling. What? You're asking me a question? All right, tables are turning. Here's your chance.
Give me trivia, Scott.
Give me some trivia?
Throw me a cue, like you used to in the old days.
You want a cue? Let's see. Oh, God, I'm not prepared here. A savage question? We called them savage questions when they were really hard. Okay, here it is. I'm going to reprise. This is Greatest Hits HQ trivia. Greatest Hits, all right? Maybe some of you listening out there know this one. The Asian delicacy, bird's nest soup, is made primarily of what? A, shredded cabbage. B, noodles, or C, bird's nests.
Noodles! B!
Going with B, noodles.
I'm
bird's
going with cabbage.
Soup
I'm going with
actually
cabbage.
Made from bird's nests. That is
what?
A savage question. That is the most savage question. I think 1.7 million people got that wrong collectively. Savage question, indeed. Bird's nest soup is lore. It's HQ lore. Bird's nest is the answer. Crazy.
Hey, Scott, guess how much money I won on HQ? 4 cents!
Yeah, that's more than I won. Mike likes that one.
Or
that
Jason,
I can't tell.
That was me, too.
I love all you guys. Good luck with the rest of the show tonight.
Bigger than ever!
Alrighty.
Take me with you!
Stay savage, everybody. Thanks, and thanks
I'm
for playing
you.
All you FOTs.
I'm begging you!
I love you.
Take me with you.
Bye.
God.
I think he's gone.
He's gone.
Nice. Scott Rogowski.
Wow.
Who had a big week. A lot of people wondering with the demise of HQ, what was going to happen, what Scott was up to. And it's nice to hear from him.
That other
dude's name was
Russ, right?
Scott ain't mincing words, man. He's going for it. He'll be back. And I'm sorry for all the people that worked on HQ who got left high and dry. You'll be better, too. And these tech people should all be marched into the ocean.
Hey, Tom, can I read you something real fast?
Yeah, of course.
In Crosby, Stills, and Nash, the biography, author Dave Zimmer writes that the location of that destined night differs depending on who you ask. Crosby claimed it was Mitchell's. Nash has alternated between Mitchell's and Elliot's houses, and both Stills and John Sebastian said it happened at John Sebastian's. So nobody really knows where.
Yeah.
I know where it happened!
Where's that guy?
Hell! When they got together, that was hell.
It's lost in the midst of...
Bad band.
Bad, too many drugs.
Bad band. We are stars. We are everything. And we got to get our way back to the toilet.
Wow, harsh.
That is,
It's one thing Gary and I have in common. We are not fans of Crosby, Stills, and Nash. I still think the funniest thing about them ever, and I've said this 5,000 times, I'll say it one more, is there's a band, Buffalo Springfield, started off, and you got this guy, Stephen Stills, who seems like, kind of like if anger took human form, like, right?
Yeah.
If all seven deadly sins shaped into one person, they would become Stephen Stills, right?
Yeah.
Sloth. Anger, whatever the sins are, resentment. He seems mad all the time. I think the only time he was probably happy was when Crosby had to sell his boat. So then he's in this band with Neil Young, and they were like fighting over who's the leader of this band, right?
Yeah.
But then Stephen Stills is like, then Neil Young kind of leaves Buffalo Springfield. Stephen Stills goes off, and he ends up in Crosby, Stills, and Nash, right? He gets his thing going, and it's huge.
Yeah.
It's enormous.
Yeah.
And he had this rivalry with this guy, and now suddenly he's the alpha dog. The big dog. And that's such a great group of guys, though. David Crosby seems like such an awesome human. Stephen Stills. Graham Nash. That's a true skin crawler, that guy.
What's his? He seems like the nicest of the four.
And he seems like a fake British person. He seems like... It would not have surprised me if somebody caught him and he didn't have an English accent.
Yeah, he just like, had a southern
like,
accent.
Seems like a gentleman bandit.
Yeah.
So then Stills is like, I'm winning now. And Neil Young puts he's not doing particularly, he's not lighting it up yet. So then he asks him to join the band. And then suddenly it's Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. And then they become enormous, but they were already huge as just Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And then now, for the rest of time, it can only be, well, is Young going to be involved in it? I'll sit this one out. He watched his own thing get taken away from him again.
Yeah.
He thought he could control him. You can't control Neil Young, Stephen Stills. You can't do it. I'm going to say, we look back, when this is all said and done, Neil Young, that's one of the all-time geniuses. He wrote more books than I did. He's directed more movies than I have.
That book is weird, though. You like that book?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah?
Waging
like
Heavy
it.
Peace?
Yeah.
I do like it. It's like one of his albums, in a way, where it's kind of little wobbly in spots, all over the map. But when it's good, it's so good.
I thought I would have liked if he talked about writing songs more. I mean, it's weird. You get to literally, it's like maybe the last 10 pages. There's a little, like, two-page description about him writing that weird fish song on Stars and Bars, you know, where it's like at the fireplace effects in the background. I can't think of the name of the song. But it's one of his like more obscure type songs, but he goes in depth about writing that song, and it's like I was just kicking myself like why wasn't the whole book like this? This book could have been amazing. But instead, he wants to talk about his car, and he wants to talk about the trains, which is that's part of his story. But the music, I wanted to hear him talking about his music, you know.
Well, Mike, I'm going to tell you this right now. When my book comes out that I sold this book to Abrams called It Never Ends, and I'm writing it now, when this thing comes out, you're going to be moaning about the same stuff.
How many times do you mention your electric car?
Oh, no, I'm just going to talk about what people don't want to hear about in it.
Give them what they don't want, right?
No, I'm going to give them what they need.
Okay, all right, yeah. Oh, okay.
Look, maybe he could have eased up on the electric car talk in his book. But I'm telling you right now, this book's going to be something else, man. You're going to laugh. Because first of all, most of these stories in this thing, almost all these stories, are not best show stories I told on the air.
Mm-hmm. Ooh,
they just ain't.
Yeah, all right.
You're going to laugh. Then it's going to get so sad, and you're going to cry, and then you know what? You're going to start laughing again, but now you're going to be like, you go! You're going to be cheering. The final third of this book is going to be like a bleeping Rocky movie.
Hmm.
Like if Rocky was a slob. Imagine if Rocky was a slob, then that's my story, and couldn't box.
Can you change the title?
Kind of ran from people. That was a whole part in it about alternate book titles. I might put If Rocky Was a Slob in there. if Rocky was a slob and didn't know how to box. You got any other calls?
Yeah, we do. Let's go for it.
Let's do it.
Line one, you're on.
Hey.
Welcome to the best show. Who's this?
Thank you. This is Eric. You just mentioned me from Los Angeles.
Oh, my goodness. This is Eric.
How are you?
I'm good. Eric, welcome to the show, first of all. You've been in the studio to watch the show.
That's true.
True. But is this one of the first times you've called in, if not the first time?
No, I called in years ago, many, when it was FMU. Mm-hmm. And then I called in once. Well, we can get into that later. Yeah. I did call in once, and I was on hold for 3.5 hours.
Ay, ay, ay. Show's only 3 hours.
What's that?
I was in the car already. You were still on hold.
Yeah.
So, Eric, first of all, do you have any trivia for tonight, or do you just want to talk about the headshot?
Well, I can talk about both. I do have trivia. Should we start with that, or do you want to...
Let's start with the trivia.
All right. I have SCTV trivia. Which you might get immediately, but...
Here we go, yeah.
Name the 3 non-Canadian cast members.
Oh, it would be Andrea Martin is not a Canadian.
Nope. True.
Tony Rosato is not Canadian.
I guess I wasn't, in terms of like...
Oh, you're not going with that. Okay, so you're saying Andrea Martin. I mean, John Candy is obviously Canadian.
Yeah.
Joe Flaherty is Martin Short's Canadian. Yeah. Catherine O'Hara is Canadian, right? No, she's not.
She is.
Then Joe Flaherty is
not.
He's not. Wow. Oh, see, I can't do this.
Okay. Yeah, see, I was thinking Joe Flaherty, maybe.
You were just thinking Joe Flaherty. Okay.
There's one more too.
Rick Moranis?
Who wasn't really, I guess he's not, he was early, he was in the cast early, but he wasn't
Harold
in the Ramis. Cast.
Harold Ramis, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I got 2 of the 3.
All right, so I'd say, let's see, I'll give you 6 points.
6 points, and it might get 3 for saying, we'll give him the points for Joe Flaherty.
I just saw a tweet by Joe Flaherty's brother, so he was like, on my mind.
Okay. Peter?
I think so, yeah.
Director of? Mike?
Meatballs?
Clifford. Clifford.
Oh, he's a director? I didn't realize that. Wow.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. And then I have one more. Speaking of Harold Ramis, the time he played the SCTV chairman,
mm-hmm.
What was his nickname?
What, Mo Berg?
No, it was the one where Guy Calvier was writing checks to Fred Willard.
Yeah, why am I blanking on this? Oh, Eric, you're making me look dumb.
I'm sorry. No.
That's okay. No, I am dumb. I am dumb. I'll admit I'm dumb. I'm dumb as the day is long.
Well, I'll just say it. Yeah?
Yeah, please.
It was Crazy Legs.
Crazy Legs.
Okay.
You remember that one where he has like these foam like Muppet legs that are he can't control them, so he's sitting at the desk.
I kind of remember.
Okay.
So what you got any more SCTV trivia?
No, that's it.
I have some SCTV trivia. I think I have about 10 videotapes still. The PBS, where I grew up, we would get the PBS from Delaware as well, mm-hmm. as the New York PBS. Mm-hmm. And they were showing SCTV every night. And I was just videotaping every episode. And yeah, mm-hmm. huge fan.
I will say this, though. PBS used to show all these people now. This is one of the weirdest things about living a life, right, is that everybody's now, you see these things where it's like, ugh, it's Doctor Who is my favorite show, right?
And like when I was a little kid.
Wait, was that me?
Yeah, that sounded
That was
too,
me.
That sounded too
No, that was really not meant to be
oh,
you.
Okay.
It wasn't really. Okay. It really wasn't.
All right.
Because if it was you, it would have added a laugh in there.
Right.
But no, it goes, but like Doctor Who used to just be this time filler that was on Channel 13 at like 6 o'clock on a Saturday. And you'd kind of just be like, well, I'm a loser, I guess. No, I guess I'm going to watch Doctor Who. You'd watch.
Nothing else is on, yeah.
You watch What's His Face with the scarf run down the same hallway 6 times, pretending they're in a pyramid or something. But now everybody's just like Doctor Who's like this high class show.
Yeah,
and everybody's a fan of. Back then it was like a loser detector.
It still is.
No, it's not.
Terrifying.
It is the culture now.
Well, the nerds won, yeah. The nerds won.
The nerds won, and now the nerds have turned into the bullies. We're at a point now where nerds, every nerd movie is crushing everything, and these nerds still can't accept that maybe a 79-year-old man who directed, like, the best movies ever made might not be a huge fan of Captain America Winter Soldier. Like, for some reason, that's keeping them up at night. That the guy who directed Goodfellas and King of Comedy, which is also, he made their superhero, their favorite superhero movie of all time is Joker. He already directed it. He made that movie, pre-made it for them. The Joker movie is half King of Comedy, half Taxi Driver.
Yeah.
So I actually, when he won the Oscar, I was going to say, like, congratulations to Joaquin Phoenix and Robert De Niro and Martin Scorsese for their best actor win. You hand me a playbook like that? You tell me I couldn't? I tell you, if they do like a, say they do like a Police Academy reboot, like Christopher Nolan decides he's going to reboot Police Academy, right? And make it gritty. I want in on playing one of these cops on this, because I'll just use the playbook. I'll just do half that, but then I'll just also do a part of like one of the, like a gritty cop movie. Or something. He'll be like, yeah, I'm rebooting Police Academy, but it's kind of has the feel of like the movie, the Blue Collar. It's kind of like a Paul Schrader kind of vibe going on. You don't think I want to be up for the part of one of the cops from it? Sound effect man?
Woo!
Initiate attack sequence. I could do that all day long, right? Remember they couldn't figure out where the stuff was coming from? And it's just like, probably one of the cops making these sounds. It's the likeliest bet is one of the cops that is making the sounds is probably one of the cops is laughing at you right now. Whatever. That's not what we're here for. We're here to talk about the AP Mike headshot, Eric. Because you got it into the Golden Globes.
And I had been planning to do that for a while. I had some other opportunities to take it to various shows. And one time I actually did bring it in and didn't end up being able to shoot it. So, and
really? Tight security?
And then I couldn't find that one again. So my brother actually ordered me 2 more. For a present, he was going to order me one. I said order 2 because I had this plan to do it. So I have one pristine that's here for the archives. But I had to fold that one, which was painful. And I saw some people griping about that on Twitter. I guess.
They're so griping about you. You don't fold up a work of art.
I know it was painful to do. So Mike, I apologize.
And where did you hide it again?
Well, I just had it in my pocket.
Oh, okay.
I did think of, you know, taping it to the inside of my suit or something, but or tux. But it just, I really didn't want it to fall out when I was going through
Yeah,
security or something. You know.
I told anyway. Eric it would have been better if he got if his security guy like patted him down and he's like, "What is this?" And then he had to take it out and show the security guard.
And he tased me or something.
But, yeah.
Just imagine the face on his poor security guard looking at everything. You know, like, what the?
Well, what if the security guard? What if you went, Eric, you're getting patted down. Guy goes, what's this? And then he, like, whispers to you, goes like, Chiku, you're good. You're good to go. He just lets you through.
Oh, my God.
Or he just goes, like, really quiet. He's like, apmike.bandcamp.com. That's when you know there's like some sort of system in place, like a shadow that's government.
Right. The deep state right there.
Yeah, that's deep state. That's AP Mike deep state.
AP Anon.
All right. Take it easy over there. So, Eric, you bring the headshot in.
Yeah.
And you're at the Golden Globes.
I'm at the Globes. And then you can see, I just looked at the photo again when I heard you guys talking, and I forgot that in my hand you can see this little piece of paper that I'm also holding, and that was like a little jotted down acceptance speech that my girlfriend had me hold for her, in case she won, and she really didn't think she was going to win. And I just looked at the photos after that. She won. Like, I did the shot. I think I did it when she went to the bathroom or went to smoke or something. And then, like 10 minutes after I took that shot with Seth MacFarlane, she won. And she really wasn't expecting to. And I handed her the little piece of paper, and she's like, no, she didn't need it. She just went up there and just went for it.
What did she win for?
What's that, Mike?
What did she win for?
I don't know if I don't really want to say, but
Okay.
She won. She didn't win for a movie. She won for the show.
Okay.
Yeah, Mike. Well, I'll tell you later.
I can tell you.
Yeah.
It was a great show. I will say that.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's just say, Mike, take the moment of glory.
Right. Well, I mean, it was a good luck charm.
Not
only was it a great headshot.
I wasn't
headshot,
keeping it from you, Mike. I just don't really, you know.
It was
a good
luck charm.
People can probably figure it out pretty quick. But
now, this guy's, Mike's going to try to spin these things as a good luck charm win awards. If you, like, someone thought they were going to an award show that they had no chance of winning. They brought the AP Mike headshot. Exactly. Next thing, they got award show glory.
Yeah. Did you see the Daytona 500 yesterday? Now, if that guy had a headshot in his car, he probably would have won.
Yeah, it sounds very.
He ended up in a hospital instead.
If only.
If only.
Yeah. Now this, did you see Mike? Did you see this Ford versus Ferrari?
Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're doing a second one. Did you know that?
I think I saw your tweet.
And they're gonna they're gonna team up.
Uh-huh. Okay.
They're gonna be like, we gotta stop this Lamborghini, right? Uh-huh. And Ford versus Ferrari are suddenly they're friends. Uh-huh. And they got to like stop a bigger foe.
Yeah, Mercedes Benz.
Yeah, or Lamborghini, like I said. That's fine.
No,
now you want
to?
No, you rewrite me.
No,
rewrite.
No,
that's
no,
rewrite.
Keep going.
Rewrite me. That's fine.
Keep going.
No. Talking, no, punch me up. Punch it up.
Talking about the second sequel. You know, one sequel isn't enough. Are you kidding me?
You're right. One sequel isn't enough.
Come on, think of the times.
Now, Eric, what would you think about this? Would you subscribe to AP Mike Street School?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Why am I asking you that? You sneaked a headshot of his into an award show. Of course, you'll pay 99 cents for an episode of him talking for an hour.
Yeah.
Well, look.
Not a problem.
Do you have anything else? I want to say you're also a very talented person. You're on right, and I'm a fan of yours, Eric, and I celebrate you in every possible way.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Do you want to say who you are?
Oh, my last name?
Yeah.
Sure. It's White.
Eric White, and he's a very talented artist. And this isn't just like an artist, like he draw. He doesn't draw like he's not drawing like Bazooka Joe strips. This is like a this is like a high art guy. Uh-huh. High art.
That's right.
Extremely talented. Well, I'm a big fan.
Thank you, man.
Well, I'm gonna say goodnight, and we're gonna wind it down shortly. So I appreciate you calling, Eric.
Right. Yeah, of course. Oh, can I mention one more thing?
Of course.
He said Steven Sills, and it made me think of an overheard. Conversation, which is a topic from a year ago.
What's that?
But, I was living in San Francisco, and I was just working late one night, and it was completely silent. And I was working by the front window, and I heard a guy walking up the street. And it was just one guy, and he was just kind of talking, or I guess he was yelling. And as he walked by, I just heard him say, "I don't give an F what Steven Stills says," and then he kept walking, and I was like.
Steven Stills. All if you want to know what I think of Steven Stills, this is literally imagine this that you're this guy. He recorded the song "Love the One You're With," "Love the One You're With," and when he recorded it, he asked someone to play a guitar solo on the song. Who was the person he asked to play a guitar solo? Then he said, "Nah, I'm going to erase the guitar solo and put me playing steel drums on it instead." Who was the guitar solo played by? No joke. I am not exaggerating or making this up. Jimi Hendrix.
What? I never knew.
Jimi Hendrix recorded a guitar solo for that song, and he said, "You know what I think? I'm going to switch it up with me playing steel drums instead of putting the Jimi Hendrix guitar solo on it."
Wow. I had no idea.
Must have been awesome.
Hubris.
So he just wiped it? Does it exist anywhere?
I think it exists now. I think it has come out.
Oh, really? Wow. Wow. Oh. It's like the Holy Grail,
That's unbelievable.
Say.
I believe so. Well,
great.
Yeah.
Great move.
Well, thank you, Eric. I appreciate the call.
Thank
we will talk
so
to you soon.
All right, thanks.
Good night, my friend. Mike?
Yes.
Any other calls?
There's one more.
Yeah, we got a couple here. One.
Let's do a couple more, and we'll wind it down.
Okay.
Here so we I can go. Let
Ernie.
It's not Ernie though. I know that. That's the mistake I made. What is it?
Brett.
Brett. Ugh. You good, man? He gave a thumbs up. He answered a man. Sure, his name's not Man. Could his name be Man?
It could be.
Okay. Well, who do we got? Let's put a call on, please.
Line 2, you're on.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, who's this?
This is Vinny from Queens.
Vinny from Queens.
That's right. But none of my cousins ever called me Cousin Vinny.
What do you got for me, Vinny?
Well, I don't have any trivia, but I did want to call in with a report from the Michigan versus Indiana basketball game that I went to on Sunday.
Yeah.
I just wanted to report that Dudio is selling himself for $8 at the concession stand under the name Slaw Dog.
Do you have a photo of this?
It's on Twitter.
Yeah, he did. He did tweet this out because they were also selling the Wolverine dog.
Oh, so there's a picture of a Slaw Dog. I got you. I did see that.
$8. It's a picture of a Slaw Dog, and I was surprised. I think Dudio's worth a lot more than $8.
Hey, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
But $8 is a good deal for a Slaw Dog. I'd pay $8 for a Slaw Dog, like a quality one.
Was it a foot long?
It didn't say. Probably not.
No.
Yeah. They're going to tell you if it's a foot long.
Yeah, now they're going to be rubbing that in your face.
Yeah. And that's $13.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Foot long. Like anybody needs more of a hot dog. Right? So what do you got? No trivia for me tonight, huh, Vinny?
Any trivia?
Anything.
All right. What was the first movie released on DVD?
Oh, that's easy. Fast Five.
Arthur 2 on the Rocks.
No, that's a pretty easy one. It's going to be Matrix 2. No?
I think
what
right,
was
no.
it? What was it, Vinny?
It was Twister.
Twister. Wow.
There we go.
Really?
The movie about a tornado.
I love that movie. I watch it once a year.
Yeah. Was the movie where there were
Bill Pullman?
There were people who chased tornadoes
for
altruistic reasons.
Yep.
But then there were those bad people that chased them for profit.
Yeah.
So they deserve to die. Because God forbid anybody make a buck off of filming the inside of a tornado.
Well, they stole the plans for Dorothy. So that's why they were the villains.
What?
You don't remember that?
No, I don't.
The little things that would fly up into the tornado to let you know.
Oh, that's right.
They stole the design for that.
I'm fine with that, though.
Okay.
Never saw
Thanks for the call, Vinny.
You never saw Twister?
No.
Oh, no, God, of course he didn't. No, because people enjoyed it.
It looked like Independence Day with tornadoes.
Pretty much, yeah. And a nice Van Halen song on the soundtrack. Here we go.
Well, here's a trivia question for you, Dudio.
Okay.
With Van Halen.
Yeah.
Can you tell me who the original drummer for Van Halen was? And who is the original guitarist?
For Van Halen?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to go with Alex Van Halen and Eddie Van Halen.
Well, you know what?
Yeah.
Eddie was the original drummer, and Alex was the original guitarist.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they were reversed.
Yeah, I know. That's why it's a question I asked.
God. That's a good one. That one got me. I didn't think about it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got the final call.
Yeah, final call right here. Line one, you're on.
Hey, this is Perry from Philadelphia.
Welcome.
Perry?
Welcome. Yes.
Wait, this is Perry. Perry Schall?
Yeah, this is Perry Schall.
The guy from Hound.
From Hound, that's true.
The artist.
I have been called that, yes.
Wildflowers of America.
Wildflowers of America.
Yeah.
You got trivia for us?
He hung up.
Well, hang up on him. All right. Well, I guess he said the name of his band six times. That was all he wanted.
Then he got out.
Yeah, he got it. Fair enough.
Wow. You got to respect that.
Yeah.
I got to give him credit.
Yeah.
All right. Mike?
Yes.
You're the best.
Thank you, Tom.
apmike.bandcamp.com. New things going up soon?
Yeah, I got a lot of ideas from tonight's show. Thanks, Tom.
All right, great. I love it. Jason Dudio Gore, as you demanded to be called in a very tersely worded email I was sent.
I thought I was a little gentle in the email, but it's fine.
You are, any shows you want to plug?
I do. Jason Gore's Midlife Crisis, next Wednesday night. That is the 26th at UCB Theater Hell's Kitchen at 9 p.m.
So, the 26th.
The 26th, a week from tomorrow.
And you can see Jason Gore live at the UCB Theater in where now?
Hell's Kitchen.
Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah. 42nd and 11th.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so. Exactly. So you can take a nice long walk along the water and look at the boats. And then you go in to see where Sully landed his plane. And then you go in and see another successful landing.
Yeah.
Which will be Midlife Crisis.
Yeah.
Great show.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Watch out for the kids in the audience.
Yeah, there are always a lot of kids. They like to sit right next to
right
Mike.
Next to Mike, yeah.
Well, I appreciate you guys, and thank you for being a part of the show tonight, and we will be back next week. And thanks to you, the best show listener.
More episodes of Meet My Friends of Friends going up over on the Patreon. Exclusive to Patreon. Best show content. Patreon.com/thebestshow. Gonna put up a Q&A. Gonna record it this week. And I'll be answering your questions. And you can ask questions if you're a Patreon supporter. That's the only way we keep the show going is through Patreon. So support us and keep the show going. And thanks everybody for listening. And we will be back next week. I'm gonna play a song on the way out by the guy who is the Don of Little Doms, Nick Diamond, Nick Thorburn, our friend from his album City of Quartz, came out 5 years ago. Great album. This is called The Sting, and we will be back next week. Thanks.